Hi, I'm Kylie.
And I'm Elliot.
We're hosts of Bad Dad, Rad Dad, a Snack Labs podcast where we look for better dads one movie at a time. Every week, we talk about the movies we watched, the thoughts and feelings they brought up in us, and the best and worst dads we found in them.
Our weekly movie picks can span decades, genres, languages, and more. Plus, we keep it totally spoiler-free so you can discover movies that you want to watch.
So join us every Thursday on our silly little movie journey to hear about the movies we watched that week.
And the dads they made us wish we had. Because
my dad's dead.
And my dad's a deadbeat.
But as far as we're concerned,
not all dads have to be bad.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, my love.
Hello, baby, baby. Oh, there you are. Just early. Waking up.
Just, well, yeah, so I,
Good morrow to you.
Yes, good morrow, sweet lady. I took a yoga class last night.
What?
It was the first time I took a yoga class. A whole bunch of, babe, let me tell you.
Your life.
There is a whole bunch of
yoga.
Fucking witchcraft fuckery going on over in my world. Okay.
Okay.
I my lungs aren't doing too good, so bear with me, folks. I'll be coughing all day. I took a yoga class last night, and there was some like yoga nidra in the last half of class.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I forgot how much I loved yoga nidra.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm inherently a pretty lazy fella. If you're one of those folks that subscribes to Ayurvedic practices, I'm pretty sure deep down I'm like Kappa Kappa. Mm. I think I'm actually Kappa Pitta, but
yeah,
which means that I am
Pitta.
Which means that, like, if I didn't have CF, I think I would just be the laziest goon in existence. And yoga nidra is this, like, it's basically like guided meditation while you lay on your back. It's like story time while you're laying on your back. And you're super comfortable. And anyway, I did some yoga nidra last night, and I was reminded, there's a full circle here. We're going somewhere. I was reminded of how much I love the practice of yoga.
Yeah.
And I was reminded the other day by my therapist that I have a tendency to burn out. And in my practice yesterday, I was reminded that I totally just burnt myself out when it came to yoga because I was teaching it. And it was the only thing that I could do to make money. And so I was teaching it a lot. And yeah. I wasn't enjoying the teaching aspect of it. And then I did it so much that I started to resent the practice. So anyway, a lovely human somehow reintroduced me back into my love of my practice.
Funny, it wasn't the lovely human that is me. That's your wife that teaches every week. But it's okay.
Hey.
It's okay. I get how the heart works. I get.
Well, that's yeah. Well, that's the other thing that I wanted to say was that I've look. I don't want
your heart is working better.
What?
Your heart is working a little better,
babe. I think my heart is literally exploding.
Oh,
I had to Google this the other day.
what does it feel like when your heart explodes?
Yeah. It's kind of intense.
Yeah. It's a break.
I've met somebody and they're making me, I'm feeling very happy to have met this person.
It's funny that you say that, because I just came across a term in looking for something that we could chat about this morning. I came across this term called, and it sounds quite lovely, but it's not as lovely as it sounds, but the term is heart balm, like B-A-L-M. Heart balm. What do you think that means?
I mean, to me, that sounds like you've got a pretty chapped up heart. And
I have chapped heart.
You got a crusty heart.
Yeah.
And you need something to be lathered over it to balm it, to
yeah,
to give it some of that moisture that it so deeply desires.
That would really, really make sense. Heart balm.
Jesus.
Heart balm is actually a legal term. Heart balm action is
a legal term?
Uh-huh. It's a civil action that a person may bring to seek monetary compensation for the end or disruption of a romantic or marital relationship.
Oh, so like, wait, isn't that alimony?
No. So, so heart bomb. Let me just bring up the Wikipedia article for this.
Yeah, please.
It's a German, it's obsolete German legal concept. In German, it's called Kranzgeld, which literally translates to wreath money, like wreath, like a Christmas wreath that you hang on your door. Wreath money is heart balm. It's heart balm. Rewarded as compensation to a woman of, in quotations, immaculate reputation. If a man broke off his engagement or caused it to be broken off, e.g. through unfaithfulness, after having had sexual intercourse with her. So if a man broke off his engagement after having sexual intercourse with a woman, she could sue him for heart balm. And it is money. It is money rewarded to the woman for basically her virginity.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Now that doesn't exist anymore?
No, it doesn't exist anymore. I mean, the wreath money is obsolete, but I think that heart balm. So okay, so then, as you know, the rabbit hole of Wikipedia. So is heart balm, and then it says see breach of promise. So then, if you go over to breach of promise, is a common law abolished in many jurisdictions. So it seems like it's obsolete as well. It was also called a breach of contract to marry, and the remedy awarded was known as heart balm. So from at least the Middle Ages until early 20th century, a man's promise of engagement to marry a woman was considered in many jurisdictions a legally binding contract. If the man were to subsequently change his mind, he would be said to be in breach of his promise and subject to litigation for damages. The converse of this was seldom true, of course. The concept that it's a woman's prerogative to change her mind had at least some basis in law. And yeah, you can get money if your man left you high and dry after deflowering you.
Well, that's really
interesting. I don't
know.
Huh?
Yeah, it's interesting. I was kind of like, well, that should still exist, but you know what? I don't know enough about about it. I don't know fuck about shit, so, you know.
Right.
What do I know?
Well, I went down this rabbit hole because I've been seeing a lot of conversation about changing the way that we talk about virginity.
Oh, yeah.
And
well, our friend Nicole DuBell, who is the founder over at Girls You Say Fuck, is actually running a Kickstarter right now. I believe they're coming up on their last few days. Mm-hmm. And the Kickstarter is for a shirt that I for sure am going to be backing because I need a shirt. I need this shirt.
You need a shirt?
I need this shirt.
Okay.
For sure.
Yeah.
And also, I have a bad habit of buying clothing, and this is a piece that I want, and I'm gonna have it. But it's rebranding virginity,
which is really funny because when we started this podcast, that was one of our questions that we wanted to start with each guest was, when did you make your sexual debut?
Yes.
And when I looked it up, I wanted more information on this whole virginity versus sexual debut, and it's actually talked about in online articles, like, you know, on my first Google search, the dates I'm seeing as early as like 2014. People have been using
kind of a movement.
Yeah, people have been using the term sexual debut, and yeah, it's kind of I've been on this with all the radio stations like blasting on about back to school in COVID times.
Yeah.
I've been thinking a lot about and just COVID times in general have had me thinking a lot about the education of children. Like the next generation, the people who are going to take care of us, hopefully, when we're old, and really thinking about how sex education is like not at all the same across the board, and just like what it can impact in terms of teaching kids about, you know, consent and their bodies and touch and sexuality in such a way that can actually help, you know, prevent or mitigate the damage caused by early sexual abuse in childhood. Yeah. And, you know, just like giving people, you know, the tools right away to like,
I mean, even like to draw out even further than that. And this is a really interesting conversation that we had on Sick Boy that's coming out this week. It was with someone who works for the One Love Foundation, and their whole thing was about teaching youth how to love. So it was all about healthy relationships versus unhealthy relationships. And, you know, that's one thing that I thought was so fascinating, because it's like, you know, one thing that I really could have used when I was in high school was how to manage money properly. Like that would have been, if that was a class that was like, yo, this is mandatory for everyone to take, like what are finances and how to finances, like how to just like be an adult, like, like that.
Yeah.
I would have benefited greatly. Even if I wasn't fucking paying attention, I probably would have gleaned something from that. And then what One Love Foundation does is they do the same thing, but their whole MO is like, love is a learned skill. To love someone properly, to have a healthy relationship, it's something that we have to learn. And so they're trying to give the tools to youth so that they, when they start developing relationships, whether that be personal, professional, but more importantly, like intimate and romantic relationships, they're going into this scenario learning how to give that love in a way that's like, that is healthy and helpful and, you know, love that will prosper. And also teaching like a lot of the red flags for what is an unhealthy relationship, because so often, and I mean, Christ, like this is when I was talking to her, I was going, oh my God, like I was learning so much about myself. Cause she's saying these red flags for like unhealthy relationships.
Like what?
And I'm one that really stuck out to me was like, she was like, oftentimes people confuse, Oftentimes people confuse passion is one thing that can be really easily confused. So there's toxic passion, and toxic passion is a bad thing. It's not good for any relationship.
Okay.
And people oftentimes confuse toxic passion with just passion. So the thing that you'll hear oftentimes is like, oh, well, we just had like a really passionate relationship, you know, like the highest of the highs and the lowest of the lows. Like when we were loving each other, we were way, way up here. We were loving each other so hard. And then when we were in fights, they were really intense. But like, that's just the way our relationship went.
Yeah.
And that's what's considered toxic passion. And toxic passion is not, that's a red flag. That's not a good thing. You know, that's not something that you, it's not something to just shrug your shoulders at and go, well, that's just our relationship. Because down the road, that can lead to a really heartbreaking breakup.
Mm.
And she was saying this shit, and I was going, holy fuck, that was me and Becca. Like, that was, we had a very passionate relationship. But I think it was toxic passion.
Right.
Because, man, we loved each other so hard.
Yeah.
So hard. And when we fought, we fought so hard.
Yeah.
You know? And so anyway, I think that there's so much that as youth that we can learn going forward into our lives to like, to be better lovers, to be better partners, to be better.
Well,
whatever, just to be better, like casual dating folk.
If you want to like, just like take some crash courses in like really accessible learning, I watched this video today called Why Do Schools Teach Sex Education? And so if you go over to pbs.org, which is an American public broadcasting station, they have this series of videos called The Origin of Everything, which is like totally my favorite name for a documentary series at all. It's why I loved Explained on Netflix as well. And I took a deep dive into the origin of everything a handful of days ago when I was looking at the origin of marrying for love. And then it led me down this rabbit hole. And then, so why do schools teach sex ed? And I listened to it at two times the speed. So I didn't glean everything, but right. One thing that really surprised me was that, that sex education actually started, during World War I, because soldiers kept coming home with STIs. And so they started developing sexual education. And, but you know, it's largely influenced in schools by like religion and a lot of people feel like it should be left to the parents. Of course, parents don't not like parents who are home now these days, educating their children on just math. It's hard enough, but you know, sex education in a culture where we're not really super comfortable talking about it for the most part. Nor do we know what's appropriate for different aged children to know and to learn, unless you're studying that, you know, kind of thing.
Geez, what a wild thing that it's 2020, almost 2021.
Yeah.
You know, halfway there. And we still haven't figured that shit out.
Yeah.
What the fuck is wrong with us? You know, what the fuck is wrong with humanity? Like, how have we not... God, sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes sometimes I just hate the human race.
Yeah.
We're such a weird virus.
Yeah.
On this planet, you know, we're just,
yeah,
such
it's
a
like we're bumbling
weird,
around.
Oh yeah. Oh my God. We're just like a bunch of little insects just walking around blind, bumping into each other, not knowing what the fuck we're doing. Like we're about to release the PlayStation 5.
Wow.
It's crazy.
What a wild, wild time.
Turn Me On Podcast. We'll be back after this short break.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door.
Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, so I was... So I was Googling for something to talk about. Unless you want to keep going down that lane.
No, I mean that's kind of, I'm just scratching the surface. I've got all these tabs open. I think
that's something we should find someone to talk to.
Yeah.
About, you know?
Yeah, let's talk about that.
I was doing some Googling on the hand holding.
You were Googling hand holding?
I was Googling how do I hold someone's hand.
Do you remember that time, right when we started the podcast that we found those stack of papers littered all over our lawn, and it was like,
yeah.
It was like in kids' writing, and it was, what was it about? It was like, how to sex or something like that.
Yeah, it was. It was like, yeah, how to make sex. No. And I was like, Jesus Christ, do we have like a weird stalker that's slewing these just papers all over our... It was only our lawn. That was a weird thing.
Yeah, we're on a school route, so I figure some kid on his way on their way to school.
You know who I bet it was? I bet you was the Peeping Tom across the street.
He's just trying to be helpful with some resources.
Maybe he wants to be on the show.
So what did you find out about holding hands from Google?
So here's the reason why. Here's the reason why I was Googling this. Because I actually got like a little bit, not worried, but I was a little bit like, what is that? That's a bit intense.
You had an adverse reaction to holding someone's hand?
No. But someone did hold my hand, and I don't even know like what I should be saying here going into this. Someone held my hand as I was walking away from the beach, and there was like friends around, so I was kind of like, we're doing that in front of friends, and I got this boost of like, you know, like my breath was kind of taken away. It was really wholesome and fucking cute. And anyway, it's this person that I've met who's been very sweet and very, as there's a lot of like serendipitous things happening around our meeting. We had known each other from years and years and years ago. And anyway, so I'm just like totally falling head over heels and trying to figure it all out.
That's my baby wearing his heart on his sleeve. You just can't keep it in your chest, can you?
I can't.
It's all over you right now.
I know.
Your heart exploded all over yourself.
So this is what I want to get into, the heart explosion thing.
Okay.
So later that day, there was a moment where I was very close to this person. And we were just laying, and you know, there was nothing like sexual was happening or anything like that. We were just laying, and like, you know, I think our foreheads were together, and I started to like feel in my chest this very visceral, very intense feeling that I can only describe. The only way I could like put words to it was to say like, it felt like my heart was literally like going, like it was just exploding out.
And did it just have a bit of gas? Because that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, nah, I don't know. It was so, it was, but it didn't hurt. But it was like, it was definitely a feeling of like, it definitely felt good, but it was way over, it was over the top. It was overflowing good. Like to a degree where I was like, is this okay? Like, am I
dying?
Is my heart exploding? Like, am I having like a really good feeling heart attack? So I looked it up. I was like, what's the cuddle hormone? Like, what's the hand holding hormone?
What
it's oxytocin, because I know that there is one. And I was like, it's dopamine, right? No, it's oxytocin.
Mm.
And it can trigger a wide variety of different like physical and psychological effects in both.
That's the skin to skin contact that that newborns do with, yes, their parents, right? You put them on your bare skin and it's, yes, all kinds of happy hormones.
Yeah. The hormone's influence on our behavior and psychology originates in the brain, where it's produced by a structure called the hypothalamus.
Yeah.
And then transfers to the pituitary gland, which releases it into the bloodstream. Okay. And so that's going to my heart. And like antennas picking up a signal, oxytocin receptors are found on cells throughout the body. Levels of the hormone tend to be higher during both stressful and socially bonding experiences, according to American Psychological Association.
Interesting. Wait, hey, hang on. Can you repeat that?
Levels of the hormone tend to be higher during both stressful and socially bonding experiences.
So this is really interesting to me, because when you first said heart explosion, I remember, you know, I think I remember writing, maybe I read it, maybe I wrote it, I don't know, but just like an exploding heart is still a breaking heart. Like, I think that those emotions, those physical sensations are very similar. The heart explosion of happiness and bonding, and also the heart explosion of being like a bomb detonated and in your heart and it's broken.
Mm.
I bet if you sat with it, a lot of the physical sensations would be very, very similar. And so, I wonder if that's what that sentence means, you know, like in stressful situations.
So I wanted it to stop when it was happening, because it was so overwhelming. And I was expressing this to this person that I'm seeing right now. And they were like, I think I might have like scared them a little bit. And I was like, no, I'm like, I'm okay, but like, this is a little too much. Because it was, I couldn't tell.
If you were going to survive it?
Yeah, man. It was so intense. So anyway, so just put a pin in that.
Yeah.
Fast forward yesterday, or the day before yesterday, I have my first therapy appointment. And I learned a whole bunch of shit about myself.
Great. I love
that
I
fucking knew, yeah, but I didn't, you know, it's like, I didn't know that I knew it. And one of those things was that I experienced what is referred to as, I've written down here, experiential avoidance.
Mm.
It works for a short period of time, but oftentimes it can lead to burnout. That was one of the things.
Experiential
avoidance.
Okay, what? Tell me more.
I don't sit with my feelings.
Mm.
And so I remember when Becca and I were breaking up, and I was feeling a lot of anger and a lot of sadness and a lot of fear.
Yeah.
And you were like, you, Bridie, were like,
do some yoga.
You were like, yeah. Yeah. And I was like, I'm not falling in love with you all over again. You said sit with your feelings, and I tried that. And what I did was I laid down on the floor feeling angry, and I felt angry for like a good long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got up and I was like, I don't feel any less angry. still feel fucking angry, like still feel fucking heartbroken, still feel like that's the voice in my head, just still this, still the same old shit, like, you know. And then so I'm talking to my therapist about this. He's like, he's pulling this out of me. And he's like, let's do an exercise. And I was like, okay. And so we were sitting here, and the exercise was very reminiscent of Chekhov technique, which is an acting technique that you and I learned in theater school.
Yeah.
And the simple idea is that, like, he was like, yeah, we're going to sit with your feelings. And so he got me to really, like, muster up this feeling that I had or had been having. And then I was to visualize it, like visualize it as an object and like give it a form, give it a shape, give it a weight, give it a texture, and place it inside my somewhere inside my body. Like, actually it was, where do you feel that emotion? And that was something that you were telling me too, was like, you know, sit with your feelings, sit with the pain, but like, where does it manifest? And just like, see it there. And so he was doing the same thing. So I'm going, okay, I've been here, done this. And it's like, okay, it's in my solar plexus, and it's hot, and it's, you know, and so I gave it, you know, I gave it now, but then he's like, well, give it a shape. Tell me, what does it look like? And so I start to form, it starts to form, and I'm starting to see this pain and see this anger and this hurt in a way that I've never seen it before, because I've never thought about what it looks like.
Yeah.
And so he's like, okay. And it's in there. It's inside your solar plexus. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, how big is it? And so I say how big it is. And then he says, well, what is it doing in there? Like, if it's in there, is it moving? Is it doing anything? And I was like, yeah. And so I told him what it was doing. And then he was like, well, what's that doing to your insides? And I was like, yeah, it feels like it's doing fucking this. And he was like, yeah, okay. And so then he goes, now picture, just imagine all these little workers, all these little soldiers coming to kind of try to compress this thing and try to make it smaller and try to, you know, work on it and beat it down. And so I'm like, okay, yeah. So the whole fucking team showing up, and they're beating the shit out of this thing, and they're trying to press it down.
Do they all look like you?
Yeah. But they're all different. But there's like three different outfits, you know. So you got your construction worker guys, you got your military guys, and then you got the backwoods militia dudes. Mm-hmm. And so they're all coming in, all these little versions of me, and they're hop 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 hop, and they're doing that, right? And it's not working.
Uh oh.
And so he's asking me, he's like, what are they doing? Is it getting smaller? And I'm like, no, man, it's getting fucking more agitated. You know, it's like that alien from the scene in Arrival when they're fucking, like when the bad guys are fucking with it, it's getting pissed off.
Yeah.
And so he's like, yeah, good, perfect. So let them go on a lunch break. You know, let these little workers let them just go away for a bit. And so they go away. And then, so then he's like, okay, now let's take that thing and your eyes are closed. This is all visualization. So my eyes are closed, and you take it out. I pull it out of my solar plexus and into my hands, and I hold it out in front of me. And you take time to get to feel what that feels like. What does it feel like in your hands? Now that it's not inside you, how do you feel? Does it feel, is there release? Do you feel less tension in your body? And of course, yeah, there was. And so I'm holding it now in my hands. And then he starts, and this is where it really like took a shift. So he was saying, you know, let's build a structure or however this comes to you, build space inside where it was, inside your solar plexus, for it to exist. So I'm imagining this, like this sort of this my inside my torso just gets a little bit bigger. There's a little more space, and there's this little glass case, and it's just big enough to hold this piece of emotion that I'm struggling with. And then he asked me to put it back in. And so I put it back in its place. And when it's back in there, it has its own space and it exists in there. No one's fucking with it. It doesn't have to not be there. It's not fucking with everything else, but it's still there. And it'll always be there. And, you know, the whole idea was like, every once in a while, just check back in when that thing, you know, go on in and say hi to it and check in with how it's doing and know that it's there and it'll always be there. And but you have space in there for it. And it was just like, you know,
that's so cool. It's so cool that because this sort of, I'm sure there's folks listening who are like, I can't imagine something for that long.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that is a big aim of the classes and stuff that I've been teaching lately at Moto Halifax. There's a new class on Monday nights called Yoga with Bridie, which is so funny because it is yoga influenced, but it's also dance influenced. It's also Laban influenced and Alexander technique influenced and so on and so forth. And it calls so much on the practitioner's imagination, you know, and playfulness. But teaching online is such a funny thing because I can't really see other people or tell whether they're like into it or following along. But imagination and play, like, that's such a useful training that we have that has allowed you to be able to absorb this kind of therapy so open-mindedly.
Yeah. I'm thinking, I was thinking about, like, what if my dad took that?
Oh,
like,
my God,
was
your
in the
dad.
Same. I was like, my dad would have been like, yeah, I don't get it.
What do you mean? What do you mean? What's it look like? It's
what do you, yeah, create space for it? I can't imagine.
He'd walk out and he'd go,
there's no more space in there.
Bullshit.
That was bullshit, yeah. My dad's got a pretty good imagination. He's a good storyteller and a performer. And
it's interesting because I had my first counseling session with a new counselor the other day. And, you know, I spent, you know, a fucking hour telling her my story and like crying over things that don't really make me sad anymore. But, you know, when you're like revealing parts of yourself to someone for the first time, it's sort of vulnerable and your emotions are a little closer to the surface. And so I'm telling her all this stuff and which great therapists do, they're like, here's what I just heard you say. And then they tell it back to you in their own words. And you're like, oh, interesting. That's actually way less confusing than it is in my own mind. It actually seems very clear to you that what I'm doing is operating with two stories simultaneously happening that contradict each other. And I need them to go together. Like, I need this belief that I have about the future to be reconciled with this story I have of my past or whatever, blah, blah, blah. She was like, it sounds like narrative. Have you ever done any sort of narrative therapy before? And I'm like, I went to acting school. And she was like, but basically, like, we just need to create a new story that pulls the threads of that are still relevant and still working for you from your previous stories. And weave them into this just like a more cohesive story that's actually really motivating and inspiring to you and blah, 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 which is really great because, you know, as soon as someone suggests that, you're like, now, all day, every day, I'm like, oh, that's a funny little story that I tell myself about so-and-so and whatever. But yeah, it made me think about Glennon Doyle's book too, because she has this one line in it that grabs everybody and it's been quoted everywhere, which is like, what's the most beautiful story you could tell about your life? And I'm realizing when I wake up in the morning that like often the story I'm telling myself about my day to come is not super inspiring. It's full of like things I got to get done. And then, you know, it's always like, and then when all of that day is done, then I can be myself and relax and enjoy myself. You know, and the life, the bar is always moving. Even though I'm a yoga teacher and I've studied these things and I've been practicing these things for, you know, 15 years in one way or another, the bar that bar of like, I'll be happy when this happens is always just moving further, further away. So, therapy.
I just realized I wasn't recording on my mic.
None of that? You haven't recorded anything?
Idiot. No, I got it through. I got it through Squadcast. It's okay. I was like, why is this picking up my cough when I'm like turning the mic so far away? And I'm getting a read that it's like blowing up the mic. I'm like, Jesus Christ, man. I'm trying to like get away from the mic every time I cough. But it's because I'm just recording through the fucking laptop mic.
Right.
Folks, you won't know. You won't know the difference because I got a backup recording and this doesn't matter.
But perhaps we should, I know this is going to be a bit of a shorter episode today.
Yeah.
Because we got to wrap it up here. But that's okay because last week's episode was really long and also super well received. So thank you to everybody who reached out and said that Kate's story meant a lot to you. We knew it. We knew it she knew it when she wrote in. She was like, I have a feeling this is a frighteningly common story, and true enough. So if you haven't listened to last week's episode, or if you only got halfway through it because it's so damn long, you can go on back and finish it up and listen to it.
We got a lot of people that wrote in. It's always so jarring to me when we get I don't know if we've said this, and this is not, I'm not saying this personally, it doesn't matter. But it's always jarring to like read a really sweet email, and then at the end of the email, there's just like this.
Here's my butt.
Like and by the way, like here's my naked body.
Yeah.
Like, whoa.
I love it.
I'm at it. I'm naked. So here, look.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if you,
it's really fun.
It's really great. I mean, obviously your nudes are safe with us, so you're welcome to send them our way. If you just need to get it off your, get it off your phone, off your chest.
Get it off your chest.
Off your butt. We love that. We love that. And as always, we love hearing who's listening, who you are, how do you exist, what you spend your time doing aside from listening to us. And thank you as well to everybody who always reaches out with recommendations, books to read, sites to check out, cool stuff in the news.
Send me some recommendations on people who do really great collective tarot reads. I'm getting into that right now. So I want those collective tarot readings so I can listen to some people. Because I'm pulling a card today and I'm telling you, man, it's fucking weird. It is weird shit. Pulled the Knight of Swords 3 days in a row.
What the fuck does that mean?
Well, the way I've been interpreting it is that it means to go forward full force, straight ahead, and with confidence. And if you're some sort of tarot reader out there and you're like, well, that's not what it means, go fuck yourself. It's my game. I play it the way I want. Knight of Swords, I look at that card and I say, this dude is just holding steady and going forward into the future without holding on to any kind of outcome, but just trusting the process. And
fuck
so that's
yeah.
and 3 days in a row, I'm like, all right, man, I'm trusting the process. I'm gonna take leaps of faith. I'm going to do things that maybe I would have been too afraid to do. And I'm just going to do, I'm doing those things. So that's what those three cards in a row meant. But there's a whole bunch of other fucking cards I pulled that are, you know, blowing my mind.
Well, I love this. I can't wait to have you read my cards.
I've only come out of the tarot closet on this show. I haven't said a goddamn word to the boys.
Oh, just wait until Sick Boy finds out.
Yeah, I'll never hear the end of it.
Well, baby, this has been a very uplifting way to start my day, and hopefully all of our listeners feel the same way. And as always, thank you so much for your support on patreon.com/turnmeon. Those of you who have signed up over the past weeks and months and days, we love you and we so appreciate your support. If you have any questions, comments, brain boners to send our way, you can reach out to us at turnmeonpodcast@gmail.com or through our website anonymously, because you don't have to put your you don't have to put any personal information in if you submit to us through the website, or you can make shit up. And we're taking confessions right now to bring to our COVID expert when we record with her tomorrow, Thursday. So if you have confessions about things you maybe shouldn't have been up to during COVID, we'd love to hear them.
That's also Thursday, August 20th. So that's literally, if you're not listening to this on Wednesday, August 19th right now.
You can still send us your confessions.
You can send it to us, but we're just not going to be able to ask her. But
we'll
you
be
can
your vault.
Us.
We'll be your vault.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll learn from her and then give you what we learned.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, all right. I think you can also find us on Instagram, right, Jeremy? You can find Jeremy
at Turn Me On Podcast, which I haven't updated for 2 weeks.
What?
But it's because I am distracted.
By tarot. So okay.
All right, so I'm going to get on it. I got it. I got this. Putting up butts. We got lots of butts. There's literally about... Oh, by the way, if you sent in your ass, there's like, I'd say over 300 butts.
On the waiting list?
On the waiting list. Okay. And that's like 300 weeks.
Right. So you can't be taking weeks off, Jeremy.
Yeah, no. Hey, Alexa, how long is 300... Whoa, 5 years and 10 months.
Well, so if you haven't seen your butt up, yeah, don't take it personally. We've got a sea of butts.
Get through those.
Bottoms. Derrieres.
All right. Well, we love all you folks. We love love. Loving everything about love. Keep on loving. Learn how to love properly. If
Learn
your heart's
how
exploding,
to
just
sit
remember
with your...
it's only an oxytocin overdose, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. There might be, though. I don't know.
You take care out there.
We love you.
We love you.
That is it for this week.
Until next week.
Go fuck yourself.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.